God, it's wonderful to be here tonight. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee that thou hast given us another day, another night, another opportunity to be in thy presence. And we pray, Lord, that thy spirit would be felt by all who are here. We pray, Lord, that thou would speak to our souls here this night, fill us with a desire to know thee better, with a desire to worship thee in spirit and in truth. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless the entirety of this service. We pray, Lord, that thy anointing would be here and that thy perfect will would be done. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to start with number 15 in the chorus book tonight. The windows of heaven are open. Number 15. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. The windows of heaven are open. The Savior is calling tonight. There is joy, joy, joy in my heart, since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garment. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to turn now to number 40 and sing Great is the Lord. Number 40.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we give number 37 a try? God is great in my soul. And hopefully we can do this because I don't remember the last time we sang this one. Hopefully we can find the right key. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. God is great and greatly to be praised. God is great in my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. And we're going to turn now to number 171 and sing I'm Satisfied with Jesus. Number 171.
I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't. can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Oh yes, I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus in my soul. Now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Well, now you can't make me doubt it. No, you can't make me doubt it. Well, you can't make me doubt it in my soul. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, let's look at number 110 next and sing, "He's My Bread When I'm Hungry," number 110.
He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. He's my bread when I'm hungry, my water when I'm thirsty, my shelter in the time of storm. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Jesus, 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 He's still all right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn to number 68 and sing He's the Lord of Glory. Number 68.
He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. He's the Lord of glory, He is the great I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. His name is wonderful, the Prince of Peace is He, the Everlasting Father throughout eternity. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to turn now to number 77 and sing In the Name of Jesus, number 77. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus. devils will have to flee. Tell me who can stand before us when we come in His great name. Jesus, 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 we have the victory. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Praise God, we are going to take up the collection now. Praise the Father in heaven, we thank Thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee, Lord, for all Thy abundant blessings. We thank Thee for all that Thou hast done. We marvel at Thy greatness. We marvel at Thy goodness to us, Lord. We are so undeserving of Thy love, and yet Thou hast loved us. Thou hast given us this place. Thou hast blessed us with more blessings than we can count. And we are so appreciative, so grateful, so thankful for all that Thou hast done, Lord. We pray, Lord, that Thou would continue to lead this ministry, guide us by Thy mighty hand, reveal to us Thy perfect plan, and give us Thy great wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, and for the cause of Thy holy and mighty name. We ask, Lord, that Thou bless the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing one more chorus in just a moment, but before we do that, I feel like we should pray for Chuck tonight. Lord willing, he'll be here on Sunday, and hopefully I'll get an opportunity to pray for him in person, but I believe he's having surgery next Monday. If I'm understanding correctly, I believe he has a pinched nerve in his back, and they're going to be operating on that, so I'm sure he would appreciate all the prayer he can get. Let's lift up Chuck before the Lord right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Chuck. We pray, Lord, that Thou would be with him, that Thou would strengthen him by Thy mighty hand. We pray, Lord, that Thy Spirit would be upon him. We pray, Lord, that Thou would help him, O God, to be healed, to recover quickly. Lord, we ask that if he undergoes this procedure, that there would be no complications. We pray, Lord, that all would go smoothly, that Thou would guide the doctors, guide their hands, guide their minds, give them great wisdom, direct their steps. But we pray, Lord, that if it be possible, that Thou would touch him even before this surgery and heal him completely. For we know that Thou can do all things. We've seen many miracles before, and we know that there is nothing impossible with Thee. So we pray, Lord, that Thou would be with Chuck every step of the way. We pray, Lord, that Thy hand would be upon him. And we ask this in Jesus' name, through the power of Thy Savior. Blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are going to sing one more chorus. Let's turn to number 85 and sing, "Give Me Oil in My Lamp." Number 85.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna. Sing a hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing a hosanna, sing a hosanna. sing a Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, we will now turn this over to Shirley and see what the Lord has put on her heart. Praise
Sam,
God.
Sam, could you kind of level that light out up there? It's tipped and it's right directly in our eyes up here. The lamp. The light.
Oh, the light.
Yeah, if you just kind of level it, the top part. There we go. Perfect. Oh, now it went back again.
How's
I don't
that?
Want it in Shirley's eyes either. Just it's straight, you know, so it's going straight down. Is that in your eyes, Shirley? Tip it this way a little bit if you need to.
It's hard to tell sometimes,
yeah,
until you really...
You can tip it a little bit more this way. Let you make
okay,
any further
we'll
adjustments that might be necessary.
We probably move things. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I don't want to blind anyone. No, you're the one that had a read up there, so why don't you blind it?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to be here. It is wonderful, really. It's wonderful to be able to sing God's praises, get our minds on the Lord, off the things of this world. It doesn't take too long for the world to drag us down. But it's wonderful. You get your minds on the Lord, we start singing these songs, and wow, you could just feel the wonderful surge of God's power, the victory that's in our lives when we meditate upon the Lord. Amen. Praise our God. Oh, praise our God. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, we had a wonderful children's night last Saturday, and I guess things got moved around just a little bit. Praise the Lord. I love to hear. Is that okay, Diane?
That's perfect, yeah.
Okay. I love to hear the children sing. It's so exciting, you know, and they get excited too. And what a difference it makes. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to move in a very special way. Praise the Lord.
In chapter 1.
Okay. Ooh, it doesn't look like it's on. Oh, well, there's a light.
Looks like it's on. It should be working a little.
Well, praise our God. Praise our Lord. Amen. Just give it a moment here and see if we are already here. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. Our God is good. Amen. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be here. Oh my, how we need Him. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that You've given us yet another opportunity, Lord. We could gather here tonight, Lord, and we can sing Thy praises and we can look into Thy Word. God, I pray, oh God, that You'd use this time together, Lord. I pray, oh God, oh Lord, that You'd meet with us. You talk to us, Lord, that You'd use this message, oh God, that You'd help us, oh Lord, as we walk this earth, God, how we need You. We're pilgrims, we're strangers, God, we're sometimes misunderstood, Lord. Oh God, there are all kinds of agitations and turmoils in this world, all kinds of confusion, Lord, but You know how to take us through this world. God, You know how to direct our paths. Lord, You've given us much hope, Lord, and I just pray, oh God, that You would be here, Lord. Oh God, that You'd use Your word here tonight, oh God, to stir our hearts, oh God. Help us, Lord. Oh God, help us, oh Lord, to have our minds set upon Thee, Lord, so that we'll never let go, Lord, that we'll never look away, Lord, but we'll keep on going towards the goal, the mark that You have given us, Lord. Oh God, that our minds would be steadfast upon Thee, Lord. Oh God, we need You, Lord. I pray that You take this word and use it here tonight. And God, I pray, oh God, that You'd be with Your people, Lord. I pray that You touch little Anthony, Lord, that I heard is sick. Pray that You touch his body, Lord. And oh God, that You'd heal him, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You would be with Penny's father too as he goes through that procedure, the colonoscopy and everything. God, I pray that You would be with him, Jesus. Oh God, I pray that You'd be with John too with the things that are forthcoming, Lord. Oh God, You know all our needs, God, as individuals, Lord. And I pray, oh God, that You'd give us faith, that You'd increase our faith. Oh God, that You'd increase our expectancy in Thee, Lord. Pray that You'd be with Your people, Lord. Be with Judy Zavala too, Lord. I pray that You'd help her, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that that mass would go. In the name of Jesus, Lord, that You'd take care of it completely, 100%, Lord. Oh God, for You are God, and there's none like You, Lord. You are the mighty God, and You know how to supply all our needs, Lord. And oh God, we come before Thee asking, oh Lord, that You would move in our hearts, that You'd give us faith, that You'd inspire us, oh God, and that You'd keep us on the way everlasting. Oh God, we give these things over to You in the name of Jesus. Oh God, asking You in Jesus' name to meet every need, Lord, to talk to our hearts, let the devil be rebuked, all his thinking, all his devices, oh God, all the negativism that comes from him, let the devil be rebuked in the name of Jesus. Oh God, give us power, Lord, with Thee, Lord, give us that ability that we need to keep our minds stayed upon Thee, Lord. Oh God, we love You, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' precious name, have Your way, Lord. Oh God, give me the words I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. I do marvel how the Lord works. He actually gave me this message a few days ago, and then, yes, lo and behold, I'm writing my letters, and I had the newsletter to proofread, and it's like, okay, everything, end of month, yes, it all kind of comes rushing at us, but praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, Take Heed Lest You Fall. Take Heed Lest You Fall. Praise the Lord. Oh, how we need the Lord Jesus. Oh, but there's nothing too hard for our God, and He knows. Oh, yes, how to supply every need. And oh, yes, how to give us that strength to endure until the end. Amen. Praise the Lord. He knows those that are His. And you know, He knows how to keep us in the way everlasting. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have committed our ways unto our God. We know that He's able to keep that which we have committed unto Him against that day. Praise the Lord. And by His grace and His mercy, we're going to continue to walk this road. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And I'll just be here, I believe, briefly. But praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh my, these are words to contemplate here, because it tells us clearly the words of Jesus Christ there, part of His Sermon on the Mount. That need to enter in at the straight gate. It's not the broad road that almost everybody is on that we need to be concerned with. No, we're to enter in at the straight gate. And He tells us that few there be that find it. Oh yes, almost everybody else has entered in at that wide gate and is walking down the broad way. But that way leads to destruction. And you know how sad it is. So few people really seem to understand that, you know, there's more to it than they are discerning in their hearts. You know, most people just, you know, have, you know, maybe trying to be a good person and trying to believe to the best of their ability. And maybe, you know, a lot of people don't even think that you really need to believe in God. You know, you just need to, you know, try to do the best you can and be a good person, all those kind of things. Well, it's not our own works of righteousness which we have done. No, it's God's mercy. It's, you know, His grace that has saved us. And we could do nothing without Him. And it does also tell us, yes, it came down to the 21st verse here in the 7th chapter. It says in verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Oh, yes, and there's, you know, this easy believism theory that people often, you know, entertain in their hearts and believe. But the Lord expects us to do His will. Oh, that's like giving our life over to the Lord Jesus and obeying the scripture and going forth to do the things that He prescribes, that He teaches, that He has written in His book. And He goes on to explain, verse 22, and I think this goes along with that 13th verse too, where it talks about the wide gate and the broad way, which leadeth to destruction. Here He says in verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Oh, how serious this business is, this road that we need to travel. It's serious, this life that we live. And here He's even talking about people that have done good works in the name of the Lord Jesus, and even cast out devils, and even prophesied in this name, but yet they did not depart from iniquity. Oh, they were still, in reality, walking the broad way that leadeth to destruction. They had not departed from iniquity. And what a serious matter it is, because He says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, how we need the Lord. Oh, we need to be like that wise man that dig down deep to build his house upon the rock. Oh, yes, yeah, so many people have built their house upon the sand. It's not built on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. They built it on their own thoughts, their own philosophy, their own religions, and think that they're going to get by, but that's not going to work. We need to dig down deep until our foundation is rooted on the Lord Jesus Christ, until it's found upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Oh, there's only one way to God, and there's no other way other than the Lord Jesus. He is the truth, the way, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Oh, it is so important to discern the things that Jesus taught in the Gospels. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. We want to be that wise man that builds his house upon the rock. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter right now. Praise the Lord. First Corinthians chapter 10. And here it says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Oh, praise the Lord. We just talked about the need to build our life upon the rock, Christ Jesus. But there in the times of old, under the old covenant, here he's going back to tell us that back in the time when the children of Israel were mightily delivered from Egypt, that they were all, and it says all, I notice all here in verse 1, all were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. 100% here, they all were led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And you know, it was God that was leading them under his old covenant here. This was the way he led them. It was when the cloud would move by day, they would follow the cloud. When it would stop, then they would stop. At night, if it was God's leading, they would be led by the pillar of fire that led them by night. And when that stopped, they stopped. That's how they knew. That's how they were being led. Now, in this time period, when we receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, God put the Spirit within us. Oh, yes, so that he can direct us as individuals, that we can hear his voice saying, "This is the way, walk you in it," when you go to the right hand and when you go to the left. Oh, he leads us by his Spirit so that we can be directed. Praise the Lord. But, yes, and it tells us they all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that was all very relevant because they left Egypt, which relates to the old life, a way of sin, a way of bondage. It was bondage to the children of Israel. They had been there those many years. Finally, in God's time, they were led out of Egypt. God leading them through Moses and of course, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But praise the Lord, he led them to the Red Sea. And what a moment that had to be. If you could just imagine it, oh, here they finally got to the Red Sea, and lo and behold, the Egyptians had decided to come follow them. So they had the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And here, it must have seemed like it was impossible. What do we do? We're blocked in. We can't go back. We can't go forward. What are we going to do? But praise the Lord, we serve a God who opens up the Red Sea. Oh, who opens up the impossibilities in our lives and makes a way. Praise the Lord. So God did just that. He led them across the Red Sea. And it all was significant because, as I said, Egypt was a way of bondage. It revealed the sin that was back there, the old ways, the old man, the old life. That's what they were leaving. They were leaving the path of bondage when they left old Egypt. And then, yes, God led them across the sea, the Red Sea, which he miraculously opened up for them. Oh, yes, so that they could cross. All of them, every single one of them. Praise the Lord. And praise the Lord makes a way for us too. You know, when we come to him, we come as we are. Oh, yes, we know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need a Savior, no matter how good we think we might be and how hard we think we might be trying. We need to come to that place where we turn our life over to God. Oh, yes, where we repent of our sins and turn it over to the Lord Jesus. Oh, and let go of the old man. And praise the Lord when we go down in the waters of baptism. That represents us being buried with Christ. And the children of Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, we notice what happened. They all made it across. And before the enemy could pursue them, as they were expecting, they were cut down. Oh, yes, that rod that Moses had in his hand, yes, God directed it. And the waters began to close as the Egyptians tried to enter, and they were all drowned in the Red Sea. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, that represented them cutting off the old ways, the old bondage, all the road of sin, and they crossed over that sea, and that represented them crossing into a new life, a new walk with the Lord. Oh, yes, a new opportunity, a life that was free from the enemy. The enemy was cut off. And praise the Lord made a way that when we come to him, oh, we come to him in faith. But when we're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, it cuts off the old enemy. Oh, that was pursuing us, that was trying to run us over. That bondage of sin that had held us under and was smothering us. Oh, and condemning us. Praise the Lord knows how to cut it off. Praise the Lord. So as it tells us, and I'm just going to turn, Lord willing, I'm coming back to 1 Corinthians, but let's go to Colossians here for a moment. Colossians, the second chapter, praise the Lord. Because, praise the Lord, oh, yes, the Lord made a way that all that old life of sin could be taken from us and we could be made new creatures in Christ, that old things would pass away. Behold, all things are new when we come to the Lord Jesus and truly turn our lives over to him. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some of the verses here in Colossians, the second chapter. It tells us in verse 11, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, Now, under the old covenant, it was absolutely essential that the males be circumcised. It was an order. And they had to do it, or otherwise they would be cut off. Oh, yes, you know, it was necessary. Moses had to circumcise his two sons before he could take charge there. Oh, yes, and deliver the children of Israel. It had to be done. Otherwise, oh my, there was no way. But praise the Lord, under the new covenant, we are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. And that is repentance, the putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, the turning our life over to the Lord and acknowledging our sin with remorse and with regret and asking him to forgive us. Praise the Lord. And then, yes, it continues. Verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. So we're buried with him in baptism. Oh, yes, and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, that was a type of baptism for that moment. It represented them leaving the old life and entering into the new. But here, under the new covenant, it's spiritual. Praise the Lord. That old body of sin is cut off when we turn it over to the living God. That's our circumcision. And then, yes, we obey the scriptures and we're buried with him in baptism. Praise the Lord. We're identifying with the Lord Jesus in the waters of baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, those sins are buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. Oh, yes, for the remission of sins, that penalty, that price of for sin is paid in those waters. Explains in verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. See, that's before we knew the Lord. We were dead. We were dead. Without Christ, we're dead. We have no life. No everlasting life without the Lord Jesus. And it's as we are dead in our sins, we don't know the living God. And we, you know, we may be going around and breathing as far as the physical person is concerned, but we don't have the living waters. Oh, the spiritual manna. Oh, yes, the things pertaining to everlasting life until we know the Lord Jesus. And it explains again, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Oh, praise the Lord, that's what he does. He plots out the old man, the old lives, the sins that, oh my, were obstacles and hindrances and detriments in our life. Well, they would have caused us to go to hell. But praise the Lord made a way that we could be quickened. Oh, in other words, made alive, spiritual man rising within us together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. See, this is what it's all about, those sins, that bondage, that great load on our back. Oh, we need to get rid of it. We need to give it over to the Lord Jesus. We need to let him take it. Praise the Lord, because, oh my, it's going to lead us to hell. We have had bondage on our back. Praise the Lord. And verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Oh, praise the Lord, what the Lord did at Calvary. And yes, the ordinances, yes, that pertained to the old covenant, yes, that were no longer relevant, oh, yes, were put on the cross, so to speak. They were nailed to his cross. And not only that, our sins were nailed to that cross. Praise the Lord, and that is such a beautiful, beautiful thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look at Psalms 103 here just for a moment. Praise the Lord. Psalms 103 here. Oh, this whole chapter is wonderful. Praise the Lord. But let's look at verse 10 here. Psalms 103, verse 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, praise the Lord. East and west don't. They're not going to meet. You know, that's how far our transgressions, our sins are removed from us by the blood of Jesus Christ. That price that he paid on the cross. Praise the Lord. He hath removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. Praise the Lord. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Oh, I thank God for the graciousness of our Savior. Oh, praise the Lord. As it says in verse 3 in this chapter, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Praise the Lord, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Oh, praise the Lord, that bondage of sin, he delivers us from that. He sets us free. Praise the Lord, just as the children of Israel. Oh, yes, that crossing the Red Sea delivered, represented their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. Praise the Lord. Oh, the enemy being cut off. Oh, what the Lord does for us. Oh, that old man Satan. Oh, how he is cut off when we repent and turn our lives over to God and are buried with him in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. The promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. It tells us in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. Just one verse here. It says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He blots out our sins, our past, our transgressions for his own sake. And he says, and will not remember thy sins. Oh, that's a wonderful word. Praise the Lord Jesus. Oh, thank our wonderful God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what salvation means. Oh, how privileged we are. Oh, that God has shown his grace and mercy unto us. Praise the Lord. A couple verses in Micah, the minor prophet Micah, Chapter 7, praise the Lord, and I've been here before, but, you know, it's too good for me to pass up at the moment. Micah, chapter 7, verses 18 and 19, Who is God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage, his children, those that he calls? Oh, yes, that salvation that he has made available to us. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. Oh, our Lord, he would have all to come to repentance. That door of salvation is opened up unto whosoever will come and drink of the waters of life freely. Oh, yes, whosoever will, let them come and drink of the waters of life. Praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 19, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Oh, praise the Lord, those old sins that, sunk to the bottom of the sea. Praise the Lord. And that's, a representation that the children of Israel had as they crossed over to the Red Sea, the mighty works of God there. Oh, praise our God. Oh, what he was doing for them. What a wonder it all was. Praise the Lord. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians 10th chapter. Praise the Lord. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this is. Verse 3 tells us, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, the manna that the Lord provided. And yes, the flesh that he brought down in the evening, the quail that came so that they had flesh to eat and manna to eat in the morning. And it says in verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. They were all partakers in these blessings, in these benefits that God provided for them. Praise the Lord. It was all significant, and they all were partakers. But the story goes on. Verse 5 tells us, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And then he tells us in verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. See, God delivered them mightily. Oh, they all passed under the cloud and through the sea. Oh, yes, they were all partakers of that spiritual manna, and they all did drink that same spiritual drink. They were all partakers, but it tells us with many of them, God was not well pleased. And yes, and they were overthrown in the wilderness because of unbelief, doubts and fears and all the things that entered into their minds and their emotions and all the things they entertained that led them down the wrong road. It says in verse 6 again, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things after they also lusted. Oh, yes, we don't want to be partakers of the things of this world. We're told not to love the world, neither the things that are of this world. Oh, that is of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is it's of the world. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the lust is going to pass away. And all the attractions, all the good things so-called of this world, they're limited. They're just for a moment. And they're all going to perish. But it's going to be those that do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. Oh, yes, that will enter in to that heavenly city, praise the Lord, and be partakers of the heavenly blessings that are for God's people. But it goes on to tell us here, these examples, these things that happened there to the children of Israel. Paul is saying here that these things are our examples that we would not lust after evil, love the world like they loved. They still had Egypt in their heart. And we can easily see that when we read of the things in the book of Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. We can tell that, those elements hadn't really left them. But how the Lord wants us to turn our lives over to the living God. Oh, how he wants us to be different. Oh, yes, that great need to turn all those lusts over to God. Oh, the unrighteous things that were once a part of our being before we knew God. Just reading a short portion here from 1 Corinthians 6, chapter verse 9. It says in verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Oh, you know, there is no way. And these days, these things are overlooked. These things are excused. Oh, we are living in a very deceptive time when, oh yes, people no longer understand and know what sin is, and things like adultery and fornication, idolatry, oh, even the tendency towards being effeminate, all these kind of things, which I believe is pertaining to homosexuality. These things are excused in the world that we live in today. But this scripture puts it clear. Oh, none of these things, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, those that abuse and despise, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Praise the Lord. What a difference it makes when God intervenes in our life. Praise the Lord. We're washed. Those sins are washed away in the waters of baptism. Praise the Lord. And he sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He fills us with his Spirit. And we're justified. We're made just by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that saving name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord, how those things have entered in and changed us so we don't have to be that person we once were. Oh, praise the Lord, because the light has shone and we can see. We can see clearly. Oh, thanks to God in his great mercy toward us. Praise the Lord. So back here in 1 Corinthians 10, here, as these examples begin, it says, verse 7, "Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Oh, it didn't take them too long. Moses had gone up to the mount, and Aaron was in charge. But it didn't take them too long. You know, Moses had been gone those several days. And you know, Egypt obviously was still in their heart. And after a while, they urged Aaron to make them a calf. Oh, yes, and he went along with it and told them to break off the golden earrings that were in their ears that they had brought from Egypt. And they made them. He made them a calf. Oh, he said it came out of the fire. Well, it tells us that he shaped it. You know it. And besides, you know, they were blasphemous. You know, these are the gods which brought us out of Egypt. How pathetic. God had delivered them with a mighty deliverance. Oh, he had taken them out of Egypt and across the Red Sea. And yet, it didn't take them long till they were idolaters, and they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Oh, I'll tell you what, God was not pleased, and that was quickly judged. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. If it hadn't been for Moses' intercession before God, God would have smitten them right then and there. Oh, praise the Lord. It was pretty hard to see that. But yes, it tells us here in 1 Corinthians that we need to look at these things as examples, as warnings, because, you know, we're human too. And, sometimes, oh my, we might not realize that we've strayed away from the principles of God. And you know, we've gotten a little bit cold, and you know, we've let down some of our standards, and some of the things that were deep inside. It can happen. Oh my, so how we need the warnings in God's Word, how we need exhortation. Oh yes, to talk to our hearts and to help us to see, you know, help the blinders to come off our eyes. And then it continues with another problem here. Another example in verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. And this too was a terrible happenstance there. You know, it talks about it in Numbers, the 25th chapter. And all at once, there was... women from Moab that came in to force or to cause the men to commit whoredom with them, and you know, they didn't have to, but obviously they weren't strong enough to ignore such, and you know, it happened. The devil caused these women, as they were abiding in a place called Shittim there, as it tells us in Numbers, the 25th chapter, and these seducing type women came in to seduce the men and, to cause them to fornicate. And yes, not only did the men fall for this, but they were also bowing down to the gods of these women, joining themselves to Baal Peor. Oh, pretty pathetic. And I'll tell you what, God was angry. God's anger was kindled against them. Oh, praise the Lord. And yes, he had commanded that the judges slay the people that were joined with Baal Peor. Oh, yes, their heads would be hung. Oh, yes, men and women, whoever all it was, that had given their hearts over to this paganism and this idolatry. Oh, all these things that had happened. But praise the Lord, there was one, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, that came forth with the vengeance. Oh, yes. Oh, knowing that there had to be some kind of somebody had to intervene in this situation, and he came into the picture because there was a Midianite woman that ran into the camp, and a man ran off with her into his tent, and you know, God knows what all was about to happen, but Phinehas, with the righteousness of God, came forth with a javelin and smote that man and woman in their bellies. And praise the Lord, that appeased the wrath of God, and that plague was stayed. But oh my, yes, they had fallen into a great jeopardy, a great problem. Oh yes, and oh yes, because of this, it says 3,000 and 20,000 fell in one day. So God's wrath, yes, fell upon them for what they had done. Praise the Lord, what they allowed into their camp. How they didn't listen, how they soon gave over their hearts to that which was completely wrong. Oh, how quickly it happened. Verse 9 goes on to say, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And oh my, this is another instance here. Oh my, they God knows they were weary. They had been in the wilderness a long time, and they began to murmur and complain against God and against Moses. It tells us this story in Numbers, the 21st chapter. And oh yes, that attitude, that spirit that would rise up within them. And they spoke against God. They spoke against Moses, and they said, wherefore have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? for there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. They were loathing, they were despising the wonderful manna that God had provided for them. Oh, I'll tell you what, God sent fiery serpents among them. Oh, yes, and many began to be bit by those serpents that came into the camp. Oh, yes. And much people died. But praise the Lord, when they cried out to the Lord and repented of their folly, God had mercy. Praise the Lord, and he told Moses to put up a brass serpent there in the wilderness, and all those that would look upon the brass serpent, even if they were bitten by those snakes, would live. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, he made a way that they could look unto that serpent and live. And praise the Lord, our God has made a way that, oh, we can look to Jesus, the one that was lifted up on the cross to die for our sins. We can look unto him. Oh, we can come unto him. We can look unto him and live. Praise the Lord. Just as that serpent, that brass serpent in the wilderness brought salvation from certain death, God made a way that we could be saved from spiritual eternal damnation. Praise the Lord that we could look and live. Praise our God. Praise the Lord. And it goes on to tell us here in 1 Corinthians, verse 10, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. And of course, there was a lot of murmuring and complaining going on among the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness. I guess the saddest of the occasions must have been there where they were just, you know, they're already, they could have entered into the promised land. They're in Kadesh. And oh yes, Moses had them sent out the spies into the land, and the sad thing, 10 of those 12 spies came back with a bad report, and seeing only the giants and fearing them. And even though it was a wonderful land with all kinds of blessings and all kinds of good things, oh yes, it was a beautiful, bountiful land, but they just saw the giants. Oh, and they did not have faith to believe that they could enter in and overcome the giants. Oh, praise the Lord for two men. Praise the Lord for Joshua. Praise the Lord for Caleb, who had faith and said, we are well able to go in and take that country. We are well able to defeat those giants. Come in. Come on. Let us go in at once. But they fell, for the most part, those children of Israel, because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe that they could enter in. And they fell there in the wilderness. Oh yes, although that elder of the older generation, only two men entered into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The rest all died. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief, because they complained, because they murmured, because they doubted God, because they allowed all kinds of things to enter in to their hearts and distract them from the wonderful promises of God. Oh, things they allow that take away faith and, oh, destroyed them. All these things, it tells us, happened for in samples. Oh yes, verse 11, let's read it. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. We need to look at these instances and realize that what happened to them, God had brought them to that point. He had taken them out of Egypt, that land of bondage. He had taken them across the Red Sea. They all ate of the same spiritual meat. And they all did drink of the same spiritual drink. Oh, all of that. But many of them fell because of unbelief. Oh, yes, God was not pleased with their murmurings, with their complainings, oh, with their fornication, with their idolatry, oh, all the things that they lusted after, the Egypt that was still in their heart, and all the things that they permitted. So these things, oh yes, which happened unto them, are now for our ensamples. And they are written for our admonition. Oh, yes, that we could see through these and understand the need to have faith and to believe God and to put away the things of the flesh. It tells us in verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, yes, those children of Israel probably thought they had it made. Oh, they had been delivered out of Egypt, and they had crossed the Red Sea, and all this and that. God had had mercy on them so many times. So many times they were delivered. But, oh my, there was a point when they had gone too far, and they had not listened. And, there came that point where, in spite of the fact that they could have easily entered in to the promised land, they were not able to. Oh, yes, they were not able to. So it tells us, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, praise the Lord. He is a mighty deliverer. He's a mighty God. There is nothing too hard for our God. But oh, how we need to allow faith to continue to work in our hearts. Oh, yes, we've got to take heed. We've got to listen to these things that occurred so that we don't fall after the same manner. It tells us in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Oh, how reassuring to know that our God can take us through all the circumstances of life, that he's not going to give us more than we can bear. And if we can just continue to hold on to his promises, if we just can continue to have faith, if we can just continue to believe God, he's going to take us through. Oh my, no matter how hard it may seem, oh my, no matter how strong the persecution might be, God knows how to take us through. And we can cling to his promises. Oh, we can cling to the things that are right and good. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, as it tells us in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 9. Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord knows how to take us through, to get us through this world. And praise the Lord, in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, we are given a wonderful guide here. Oh, some steps that we can take to help us to hold on to the promises of God. It tells us, oh my, this is such a beautiful chapter, but looking at 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, praise the Lord. There's corruption on every hand. Oh, the world is so bad right now that sometimes I know we think we can't even bear it. I know Brother Samuel, his new newsletter that's going to be coming forth, he talked about the corruption that is in this world. Oh my, it has an end, however. Oh, it has a day of reckoning. Oh, there is a day when God is going to revenge us of his of our adversaries, and it's all going to be over if we could just hold on to the great and precious promises of our God. Realize that he has made us partakers of the divine nature, that by his grace and by his mercy we have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, yes, all these things that surround us. It tells us in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, oh, putting our very best to it, add to your faith virtue, oh, moral uprightness, moral excellence, add to your faith. Oh, we come to God with faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. If we didn't have faith, we never even could have come to God. Faith brings us to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But we have to take that faith and grow. Praise the Lord. It is telling us how to grow. Add to your faith virtue. Oh, yes. Put on, yes, the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Add virtue. Oh, moral excellency. Oh, the morality that is all proclaimed in the Word of God. And to virtue knowledge, oh yes, we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord, we add knowledge, yes, to that virtue. And then, yes, as we're climbing up this ladder, oh yes, to be more like Jesus, it says into knowledge temperance. Oh yes, we want to be temperate. We want to have self-control. And that all has to grow within us. It has to be developed. But the Lord knows how. When we give our lives over to God and let him work in us, let him change us, let him mold us, let him remake us. Praise the Lord, we do all of this. We allow the Lord to work these characteristics within our being. And then to temperance, it says patience. Oh, yes, patience doesn't come easily. But praise the Lord, we go through this life. There's trials, there's tests. But praise the Lord grows patience within us so that we can endure until the end, so that we can hold fast. Oh, yes, so we can claim the promises of God. Praise the Lord, that patience. Oh, we add that patience to all these characteristics here. It says, into patience, godliness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, my, to be like Jesus. Oh, yes. Oh, to have the traits, to have the light of God within our beings so the world can see Jesus in us. Oh my, it takes a lot of denying of self, putting down that old man, taking up our cross and following Jesus. But praise the Lord, yes, learning how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh yes, before anything else in our lives, all of those things, oh yes, build up our nature so that we can grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, oh, the wonderful one that's called us, so we can become like unto God somehow, amazingly. And it says in verse 7 here, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Oh, my charity. Agape love. Oh, yes, a love that gives without expecting anything back. That is the love that Jesus Christ has for his church, for his people. Oh, that's what put him on the cross, because he had charity. He had such a love for his people. Agape love, that he loved us even though we were sinners. Even though we had done dreadful and terrible things and despised him in so many ways, yet our wonderful God showed us that kind of love, that he would give himself a ransom for many there as he put his life upon that cross. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord when he did that. Oh, yes, there was an end to it. Oh, he took our sins upon himself. Praise the Lord. He who had no sin became sin. Oh, yes, that we might attain unto his righteousness. Oh, that we might overcome, that we might know him, that we might be partakers, oh, of salvation. Oh, partakers in the heavenly things that God has provided for his people. Praise the Lord, that inheritance that he has for those that endure unto the end. And it tells us, verse 8 here in 2 Peter 1, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we've added to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and, you know, the brotherly love and charity and all of that. Oh, praise the Lord, if these things be in us, oh, if we can develop, oh, that kind of life in Christ, then, yes, here it says we shall neither be barren, oh, empty, without, you know, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to bear fruit if these characteristics, if these traits are in our person, being made over by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, and having been saved, oh, yes, from this old world and the corruption that is in this old world. Praise the Lord. It explains in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Oh, we never want to forget what God has done for us. Oh, we've got a goal. We've got something to attain. And we don't want to forget what he has done for us. The goal, the thing that we, you know, have set our minds toward. Oh, yes. Those things, yes, that we're aiming for, as it tells us in the book of Philippians. Oh, that pressing that we do towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, that was what propelled Paul to go forth, even though he was persecuted continuously, it seemed like, and went through all kinds of situations. Oh, there was still something within him. Oh, yes, that compelled him. Oh, he was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, yes, he was forgetting those things which were behind, all the trouble behind, all the agitation, all the sins of the past, all the confusion of the world, all of those things dropped because the Lord has blotted out those transgressions. Oh, the Lord has saved us. He's taken away that past. And oh, praise the Lord, he's made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. He's given us something to strive for. And we're reaching unto those things which are before. There's a goal. Oh, there's a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We've got a goal. We're aiming for heaven. We want to reach it. We want to be like Jesus. And so we're propelled. We're going to go forward. We're not going to let the things of this world hinder us and cause us to be distracted, cause us to fall into sin, to look back. Oh, the children of Israel look back. Oh, yes, they would often say, oh, that we were back in Egypt. Oh, we had it good back there. Well, they were in bondage. They were in sin. Oh, my, they had great need back then, but oh, my, they forgot. And they start looking back. Oh, we don't want to ever look back. The Lord, if he's brought us this far, we've got to go on. We've got to continue in the grace that he has given us. We've got to go forth. We've got to endure until the end. So it tells us here in 2 Peter the first chapter, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, life in Christ Jesus. If we can just keep our eyes on the goal and keep striving. Oh, yes. For that faith that is in Jesus Christ, that virtue, that temperance, that patience. Oh, yes. That godliness, all of those attributes, if we could just strive, oh yes, to cast away the old man and let all those old traditions of the flesh and all those old ways depart and not be upon us at all. Yes, we've given them over to the Lord and praise the Lord, we've turned from that willful disobedience, that old life, that old man, oh, that old way of thinking. Praise the Lord. Oh, if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Praise the Lord, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall, it tells us. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, we're striving to enter into that place that the Lord has prepared for his people, those that love him. Oh, we're striving. There's a goal in mind. Oh, praise the Lord. And though there are pitfalls, though there are hindrances, oh, there are persecutions, there are trials in this world, we don't ever want them to deter us or to cast us or cause us to turn away from that goal that we have. We know that there is a great need that we need to take heed lest we fall. We've got to realize, oh yes, there are some that have turned away. There are some that once knew the grace of God, but somehow start thinking about old Egypt, the old world, and oh, let it begin to attract their very being, oh, and get into their heart, and oh, stir up all that trouble, and it caused them to turn away from the living God, and that straight and narrow way that leadeth unto life, that way that Jesus said, few there be that find it. Oh my, how we need to give heed. Oh yes, because we are warned, and we know, again, that yes, it is possible that we could fall. And you know, we haven't arrived yet. We haven't yet survived this world and gone into the next. So we need to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Oh, praise the Lord. We need to give every day over to God and let him rule and reign in our lives. Praise the Lord. Learn to cast away the things that, oh yes, would distract and hinder, those thoughts that try to creep up and, you know, cause division in our mind or cause conflict in our mind. You know, bring up problems and, you know, questions and all those kind of things that the devil tries to work up. You know, we do have an adversary, and yes, he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but praise the Lord, we can resist him. We can resist those thoughts. We can put down the old man. Oh, yes. And we can let the Lord rule and reign in our lives. Oh, yes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Oh yes, he knew that we were in a race, a spiritual race. And oh yes, there is a goal at the end. Oh yes, men strive for the mastery in temporal things, in earthly things. They strive to win. But we are in a race for eternal life. Oh yes, and this life down here may indeed be short. The years go by so quickly. Wow, the month of January is almost gone. Here the year 2020. But what we do in this short life will impact our whole eternity. All the things that we do for God are the things that are going to last. Those are the things that are going to endure. Everything else is going to be consumed. Everything else is going to pass away. Oh, it's all going to disappear and be of no worth, no value, no good. But praise the Lord, we've got a goal. We've got something to attain. Oh, there's something on the other side. Treasures there of I, treasures that this world and all its wealth can never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my other treasures on the other side. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what we're aiming for. All those things that are eternal. And praise the Lord. We want to give it our best. We want to give this life in Christ all diligence. Oh yes, because oh yes, we're wanting to attain that goal of eternal life. Praise the Lord, and we can do it if the Lord walks with us, if the Lord keeps us, if we keep our body under subjection. Oh yes, we give it unto God and subject ourselves unto the will of God so that He might arise in our hearts and give us His overcoming strength. Praise the Lord. Oh, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that He puts within us that needs to be renewed day by day. Praise the Lord. Oh, we need that deep in our hearts so that we can run this race. Oh, yes, that we can overcome. And oh, yes, we look at these things that are in the past, the examples that were given to us in that 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We don't want to forget them because, oh yes, the children of Israel, they had a goal too. But many of them did not enter in. Oh, they gave up. They forgot. They forsook. They listened to the voice of the flesh and did not enter into that place that had been promised, that had been provided for them if they could only endure. And here we are, as it tells us in that 12th verse of 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, praise the Lord, but we know that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He can take us through. Praise the Lord. He knows how to get us to heaven. Praise the Lord. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, if we can cling to the promises of God, if we can let Him take us and lead us. Oh, yes. Into that place that He has reserved for those that love Him, those that endure unto the end. Praise the Lord. That place of our inheritance. Praise the Lord. Oh, our God is good. Praise the Lord. And He knows how to deliver us, how to set us free. Oh, how to bring us through this world and into that place that He has reserved for them that love Him. Oh, praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Oh, we don't want to cast away our confidence. Oh, we don't want to cast away the good things that God has promised unto his children. Praise the Lord. So therefore, by his grace, we take heed lest we fall. Praise the Lord and keep our mind on the goal. And let the Lord take us through, deliver us. Oh, yes. And bring us to that place that he has reserved for them that love him. Praise our God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. So, praise the Lord. We know that you've got good things for us on the other side, Lord. I pray that you give us that strength. God, endure it to the end. Give us that strength to walk with you day by day, God. Give us that determination, Lord. And I pray that nothing would deter us or set us back or cause us to go back to old Egypt. Help us, Lord. We ask and we praise thee in the wonderful name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise our God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Put it within us, God. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, praise you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 32 and sing On the Other Side, number 32.
On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. On the other side, treasures there have I, treasures that the world and all its wealth could never buy. And when I reach that city and the gates swing open wide, I'll find my treasure waiting on the other side. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.